lifted. It's time to fix what's broken, all the willing and the able. And when our honest work is done, we'll gather at this table. We'll hold each other's babies and pour each other's wine. And promise to remember that your fate's bound up in mine. The skies are clear now. Glass, my friends, we'll make it through. And the time for flowers has come again. And though it seemed the world would end, there were days despair did win. But the time for flowers has come again. The time for flowers has come again.
Life has its surprises. Sometimes they knock you down. You can rise above them, or they can put you in the ground. You gotta pull yourself together. You gotta stand back up. Find something to believe in that's gonna be enough to get you through the hard times without taking your soul. You gotta look beyond the circle of everything you know. Now you can lean on me, though I can barely stand. I can't hold you up, but I can hold your hand. We can cry side by side, sharing in the comfort that our tears provide. But let's engage in some reflection, decide on our direction. We gotta find a better point of view. We need to give it some. Forget about convention. We're gonna find out what our love can do.
Some was Wild Mountain Mystics with What Our Love Can Do. And before that, we heard Emily Scott Robinson with The Time for Flowers. Okay, next up, I have a conversation that I had last week with Amanda Russell, who plays Mama Ogre in Shrek the Musical, that is currently playing at the Massey Theater in New Westminster until Sunday, May 3rd. Shrek the Musical, if you don't already know, is a musical based on the 2001 DreamWorks animation film Shrek. I have seen the play a couple times, and it's quite fun. So let's hear our conversation. This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'd like to welcome Amanda Russell to the airwaves, who plays Mama Ogre in Shrek the Musical, which is currently playing at the Massey Theatre in New Westminster. So, Amanda, I just want to thank you for joining me. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and it is busy times because before we went on live, I mentioned that I've actually been able to see the show a few times because I moonlight over at the Massey Theater as well. So I know it's super, super busy. I am so happy that you had a moment to chat. So I want to get into my first question. For those who don't know about the show Shrek the Musical, I mean, there might be a few people out there who don't know. What would you say that guests can expect when attending this rendition that's presented by Royal City Musical Theater? What do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This show is just so full of heart, and it's just a fun show. It's been a show that I've known for quite a while, and I've always been very excited when a company in the Lower Mainland does it, because I think it's such a special and different show that you see. You know, you don't usually see lots of fairy tale creatures or interesting characters, or the costumes and the makeup in this show are just amazing. So it's just a fun, good-hearted show is what I would say to expect.
I have to agree with that. I think that that is a great, yeah, absolutely great explanation of what you can expect. You do play the character Mama Ogre, who is the mom of Shrek. Can you tell me a little bit about that role?
Well, it's funny because in the movie, we don't actually see Mama Ogre. We don't know who Shrek's parents are. But the musical actually starts out with Shrek's story as a younger child and how he ended up at the swamp.
Right.
And so basically when the ogre culture would be that when ogres are 7 years old, they're sent off on their own to live their own life. And so you kind of see a little snippet at the beginning of myself and Papa Ogre sending him off on his way to live a life of solitude.
Absolutely.
It's kind of nice to see the segue into Shrek's life as he grows up or afterwards.
Totally agree. And since you kind of kick start the show, so to speak, like, what is that like to kind of be one of the first, you know, actors on stage? Like, how is that for you?
Oh, it's really fun. I'm so excited. The three of us, it's me and Thomas Schultes, who plays Papa Ogre, and either Preston Kalili or Riley Calderwood. They are the young company, and they actually switch out every night. So the three of us kind of hang out behind the curtain backstage, and we're really excited, and we pump each other up, and then the curtains open, and there we are. We're the only three on stage to start the show. So it feels pretty cool to start out the show like that.
I love it. And I do want to share with listeners is that, you know, we are recording remotely and I get to see Amanda right now. But Amanda, you are going to be like completely makeuped up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
How long does it take to kind of get prepared for your role?
Yeah, we have an awesome team of makeup artists that help us before the show. When we first started out, like Shrek's makeup, I think would take around 3 hours to do. And when we first started, ours was about an hour, but now we've kind of cut it down a lot. I would say ours takes no more than 30 minutes now. But the three of us get nose prosthetics.
Yes.
And the Shreks get a facial prosthetic as well that goes over their hair.
Wow.
And then I luckily just wear a wig, and then they paint me green, and then after I go off stage, I have to go take it all off again for my next character. So it's a fast, quick change there, but it's really fun to get out of, in and out of the green. It's really funny. I love it.
I love it. Okay, so Shrek the Musical is currently playing at Massey Theater in New Westminster, and it's on now until May 3rd. So, you know, we're still kind of like in the beginning stage of it. We still have a little bit to go. What would you say is your has been your favorite moment so far?
Of opening? Oh my gosh. I think just getting to know the cast. I've done quite a bit of community theater, and this is actually the first show I've done where I didn't really know anyone coming into it. So it was really nice to get to know everyone and to kind of build that camaraderie with the whole point of the story is that being different is good. And so kind of like joining each other in celebrating our differences. And
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Really
nice.
I love that. I have a couple more questions before we close. I mean, it's just, I just want people to know about this. And guys, the links for tickets and all that will be in the show notes. But you mentioned a little bit about community theater. And I'm curious, like, how long have you been in the community theater world?
Me, myself?
Yeah, you yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Since I was 11 years old. So I've been in it for over 25 years.
Wow.
Amazingly.
That is so wild. And what is, like, what draws you to, like, community theater? Like, what is that, the draw for you?
Oh, just the arts in general. I'm really passionate about. I actually teach dance and drama to elementary age students in a school setting.
Right on.
So it's, like, basically my full life is dance and drama. And so I know for myself as a child, I grew up quite shy. And then I found theater specifically, and it broke me out of my shell. And it really allowed me to discover who I am as a person and what I care about. And so I do it because I love it. And I hope to share that love with others. And I think art is really important. So
I think art is extremely important, and I love that. And I'm going to end off with one last question before I plug the show again. Like I said, this is going on until May 3rd. After it's done, like, what's kind of next for you? Do you already, like, know what you'd be doing next, or do you take a major break? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, well, it depends. If there's auditions around, I audition. Yeah. But I'm actually currently also in Tony and Tina's Wedding, which is a little fun Vancouver-based immersive show.
Yes.
And so I'll be doing that in May, a few weeks after we launched.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. And then I've also, there's a few directing things I'll be getting into afterwards as well that I've been offered. So I'm pretty excited for
the
future.
Yes.
Yeah. Always busy with something. Yeah.
I love that. I love that because, again, I think art is so important. So I do like to ask these questions about artists just to show listeners who are, you know what I mean, artistically inclined to know that you can keep going with opportunities.
Oh,
right? It's not always a one-off. I love that.
No, exactly. Just keep going. I mean, I have a 10-year-old at home, and I'm a school teacher, and I still do it after school. And people always say, how do you commit all that time? And I'm like, it's because I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. And last thing before I let you go, is there anything that you might haven't, like, shared already that you want to share before we sign off?
Come see the show. Come
see
Shrek. It's a really fun show, and the cast is just amazingly talented. So,
that is the truth, guys. I've seen the show a couple of times. It's a funny show. The cast is extremely talented. Music is on point, and I really enjoyed the set and, you know, costumes and all the things. So I want to thank you, Amanda, for hanging out with me today on CGSF. And I want to thank everybody who's tuned in to have a listen. Again, Shrek the Musical is on now at the Massey Theater. It's happening until May 3rd. You can still grab some tickets. All you have to do is go to MasseyTheatre.com, and there is an easy way to purchase. And I will include links as well, just for those who might be driving or, you know, not able to write that down. So again, Amanda, thank you so much. Have fun tonight.
Thank you.
This is Nicole. And that was my conversation with Amanda Russell, who is Mama Ogre in Shrek the Musical. Again, you can still get tickets for Shrek the Musical. Please, there is sometimes, you know, some scam situations happening in the streets. So I do encourage you, if you haven't purchased tickets already, to head over to MasseyTheatre.com directly to purchase your tickets.
The Slate Family Foundation Legacy Program was created by the Unison Fund to support Canadian music industry veterans. For more information on this lifeline of hope, visit unisonfund.ca.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Liver disease affects 1 in 4 Canadians. While liver disease may be part of your story, it doesn't define it. Liver Canada is here for you. Find support at liver.ca.
Welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. Now, the next and final interview that I'm going to share with you today is one that I stumbled upon last week when I saw a Reddit post regarding the Burnaby School District's decision to stop its involvement with the Michael J. Fox Theatre. And that means that the Michael J. Fox Theatre in South Burnaby is set to be unavailable for community bookings starting July 1st of this year. As someone who values performing arts, as you just heard in my last conversation with Amanda Russell, I reached out to Will Gladman from the IATSE Union, who is one of the organizers of the Save the Michael J. Fox Theatre campaign. And let's have a listen to our conversation. This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories. I have Will here today. I just want to thank you, Will, for joining me. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're actually going to be talking about the Michael J. Fox Theatre. It's a beloved Burnaby institution since 1993, which is at the risk of shutting down. So, I mean, please, Will, can you share, like, how you're affiliated with the Michael J. Fox Theatre and sort of, like, what's about to potentially happen?
Sure. So I work for IATSE, which is a union that's that represents all kinds of arts and cultural workers, including film, TV, stagehands. We have about 170,000 members across North America, and one of the oldest locals that we have is Local 118, which represents stagehands and other theatre workers in BC. Mm-hmm. And so a few weeks ago, all of the theatre technicians at the Michael J. Fox Theatre made the unanimous decision to join IATSE Local 118.
Okay.
And to certify the theatre, to make it a union venue, which it hadn't been in the past. And it was through that process and through conversations with the employer that is the Burnaby School District that we learned that actually the school district was planning on shuttering the theatre as of June 30th of this year. And so that's how we got involved. You know, it was through our representation of the workers that we learned that this happened. And of course, we want to try and protect those jobs, and we want to start bargaining a collective agreement for those workers. Mm-hmm. And through that process, like, there's just been this huge outpouring of support from the community as well. So it's really taken on a life of its own beyond our involvement as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned in the very brief intro that the theater has been around since 1993. So obviously, it's been a pivotal, route for the Burnaby community. I'm sure that it's going to be pretty devastating if it's, you know, not available for community. Mm-hmm. What What can folks do to maybe help stop this, if there's anything, you know, that we can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right that it's at the core of the community. It's you know, it's a theater that's booked 200 nights a year, which is for any theater an incredible achievement. And it's used by Burnaby residents. It's used by primarily theater and dance groups for competitions. And so there's a really strong community behind it that wants to keep this operating. There kind of isn't anywhere else in the area that's suitable for those kinds of events. In terms of what people can do, we've launched a campaign to save the theater, to keep it open for community use. Mm-hmm. There's a website for the campaign, which is savethemjftheater.ca. On there, there's a petition, and the petition at the moment has almost, I'm watching it right now, it's about to get to 4,000 signatures in a week. Yay. So that gives you an idea of how many people really care about the theater. Absolutely. So people can share the petition and sign the petition. But what we're also finding has a lot of impact is actually reaching out to decision makers directly. Mm-hmm. Really, at the moment, that's the city of Burnaby, because we're hoping that the city of Burnaby steps in and is able to provide the funding and the support to make sure that when the school district steps back, there's somebody to step in to take over the theater.
Yes.
And so reaching out to them directly and explaining why it's important to you and why investing in arts and cultural spaces is so important, that's having a lot of impact.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will be including the link that you referenced. So just in case you are driving or, you know, walking or something like that, and you didn't catch it real quick, no worries, because that will definitely be there. I'm curious if, I know social media is, you know, a great way of spreading the word. Is that something, or is there any social media presence for this campaign as well, or just strictly the website?
We actually haven't yet made our own social media presence. I think that might change, and it's still early days for us, and I think that's going to change. We have seen lots of Facebook groups, like, you know, the dance community, for instance, is very active on Facebook, and it's been spreading through Facebook kind of on its own.
Right.
But no, stay tuned for that on our end. I think maybe next week we might think about launching some social media presence too. This has moved incredibly quickly.
Because
we were expecting.
Yeah, I when I heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to reach out right away, because, you know, I mean, we are community radio. We want to sort of be a platform to share these stories and to spread the word about this, mm-hmm. and hopefully it can be stopped. Is there, I mean, you said that things are working pretty quickly. Are there any next advancements, do you think, like upcoming? Or,
well, we know that the city of Burnaby last year committed to doing a feasibility study about, you know, whether the city can get involved and how exactly they can get involved. We understand that report is due imminently. It could be as soon as next week, which is why we're moving so quickly on this.
So
as far as getting an answer from the city, that's a pivotal piece. And so we're trying to build some pressure around that and make sure that the city understands that this is a really important issue for the community. So that we're aiming towards next week. There is a council meeting next week.
I was going
to
ask about that.
We were trying to get on the agenda, and it doesn't look like we made it onto the agenda for the council meeting. Mm. But we do know that some of the correspondence from residents and from community groups has made it into the package for council next week.
Okay.
So we're just trying to keep the pressure on council while we work with community to try and think of whatever ways we can to support this, right? Like, as a union, we have over 100 years of expertise working in theatres. We know that the community groups have lots of expertise in running events and running fundraising. And so I think between us and the city and everyone else involved, I think that we can come up with some ways to keep this place running for the community.
Absolutely. I am sending all the vibes. I've signed the petition as well, because right. I also moonlight and work for a performing arts theater in New Westminster. So I know they sort of face some of those issues with Massey Theater way back when. So I'm hoping that, you know, we are able to save Michael J. Fox Theater. And if you wouldn't mind to please plug the website again, so that folks who might have just been listening right now will know where they can go to support.
Yeah, the website is savethemjftheatre.ca. The petition's there at the bottom of that page. There's an email address too if you want to get in touch with us and offer support in a different way, or you're part of a community group that wants to support somehow. Please do reach out directly to us as well. But savethemjftheatre.ca.
Wonderful. And before I let you go, again, I want to thank you so much because I know it's busy times and you have a lot on the go. Is there anything that we might not have talked about or that you might not have shared that you would want to share before we sign off?
I think that just about covers it, but I again, it's just we've been really blown away by the show of support, and so we'd like to keep the momentum going. We've heard from people, for instance, who went to Burnaby South Secondary School. They used to perform at the
Right.
theatre, and now their kids are performing at the theatre.
Yes,
So
yes.
it's keeping a legacy alive,
Absolutely.
and we're really excited to have so much support. So thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you were able to join me again, Will. Thank you so much. And thank you, all listeners. Again, I will include the links so that you can stay connected and as well as the email that you referenced as well. Thank you so
Great.
much.
Thanks, Nicole.
And that was my conversation with Will Glattman with IATSE. And there are still ways that you can show your support. I just went on the website, which is savethemjtheatre.ca, and the numbers are now a little bit over 4,600 since our conversation on Friday. So feel free to head over there to show your support to save the Michael J. Fox Theatre. And we've now come to the end of the show. I just want to thank everyone for joining me today. Before I make way for Democracy Now, I am going to play us out with a track called Sentimental by Ona Ensemble.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.